our first week away learning the Torah with Tzadok. We spent last week getting a bit of a hakdama to who Reb Tzadok was, what his life was really about, and some of the events of his life and how that may have impacted him. This week, what we're going to be talking about in Reb Tzadok is L'da'ati. I can't say that with incredible expertise around Reb Tzadok, but a little bit of knowledge. That Reb Tzadok, this I think for me is a very important figure for him. And it's one that we'll see over the next couple of weeks impacts a lot of different shilas, so a lot of different issues in his thought. So we're going to lay some of the groundwork today, and at least in terms of the way that we're going to be doing it, hopefully this is helpful. Again, I can't speak with any real expertise, but hopefully this is a good starting point. We're also going to, at the end of the show today, speak a little bit about Rav Kook, and Rav Kook, how he was influenced by Rav Tzadok or was not influenced by Rav Tzadok. In particular, in this category, I think in this year, I think it's one of the first times that this year we've had this class of learning from Rav Kook. So we'll try and do that and do that also a little bit. There is a Gemara in Masechta Sukkah and Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us, "The Darash Vihudu Asad Lavo Meviyah Gars Baruch Li Tzahara Meshochlo Bifan Tadik Bifnei Arashayim." End of days. Again, we don't know exactly what this means, but end of days, the Ribono Shel Olam is going to take the Yitzhara in front of Tzadikim and in front of Rishayim, and he's going to shecht the Yetzer Hara. Tzadikim nidmilahem kehar gvoa v'Rishayim nidmilahem kechura sa'ara. When Tzadikim are going to see their Yetzer Hara, their Yetzer Hara is going to look massive. It's going to look like this massive Yetzer Hara. They're going to be blown away. How are they able? How are they able to conquer this Yetzer Hara? And for the Rishayim, the Yetzer Hara in front of them, what they're going to see is a very small Yetzer Hara. They're going to see a Yetzer Hara that's not so tremendous. And they're going to be wondering, how do they lose on all of those situations? How do they struggle to be successful in front of the Yetzer Hara? It's a strange thing in the Gemara, because normally we would assume the exact opposite. Normally we would assume that Tzadikim have smaller Yetzer Haras, and that Rishayim have very big Yetzer Haras. That's what we normally assume. That if I'm struggling, so why am I struggling? Because Yetzer Hara is so powerful, it makes it so hard, and that's why I didn't do well. And the guy who, this is just intuitively, the guy who's at Shacharis 45 minutes early every day, we look at him and we say, he possibly has no Yetzer Hara as far as things like that. We assume for him it's so easy and it's so obvious, and if I'm struggling, it means I have a bigger Yetzer Hara. And the Gemara here seems to indicate the opposite. You know who has the big Yetzer Hara to sleep in? The guy who's there 45 minutes early. And you know who has like no Yetzer Hara? The guy who woke up at 11:45. A very, very strange Gemara, at least as far as how we normally think about things. And we'll see if Tzadok's going to get practical, and for me it's a source of enormous chizuk. What's pshat in this Gemara? The simple pshat of this Gemara, the Sfas Emes, has it there in his Perush of Masechta Sukkah. The Marsha talks about this in the Chidushi Agados there. Now what's going on? The more that a tzaddik says no to the Yetzer Hara, so the Yetzer Hara keeps on trying to go back at it. Like the Gemara says there in Masechta Sukkah, called Gadol Himenu, whoever's bigger, Yetzer Gadol, also has a bigger Yetzer Hara. The more that I engage in a fight with the Yetzer Hara, the more that I challenge it and take it on, so the more it's going to come back at me. It's going to come back at me. The way that the Brisker Rav points it out in source number 3, it's a little bit even more than that. It's a gradual process of taking on the Yetzer Hara. It's a mountain. A mountain that has an incline. A little bit here, the tzaddik fights it a little bit more. I've conquered that part of the Yetzer Hara. It comes back with more. I've conquered more of the Yetzer Hara. Comes back with more. I've conquered more of the Yetzer Hara. I've gotten to the point in the Lashon of Rav Dessler where my Nekudas HaBechira, I've tackled already a certain amount of Yetzer Hara. I've already moved on from that. It was still there. It was Yetzer Hara, but I've continuously built upon it. The Rasha often, in his interaction with Yetzer Hara, he gets knocked out pretty early. He hasn't really fought and conquered the Yetzer Hara. And he's continually struggling with that same very small Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara has not needed to build itself up. The Yetzer Hara has not needed to become so chashuv that I have to come along and I have to conquer it. The Yetzer Hara is sitting there and it's still pretty small. That's one of the standard pshatim that's there in the Gemara. What that tends to assume, and we spoke about Yetzirah a little bit earlier this year in the Mesillas Yesharim, whether Yetzirah is internal, external, what that means. What that seems to assume and reflects, I think, the dominant interpretation that we are familiar with as far as Yetzer Hara is that Yetzer Hara is kalkulo bad. Yetzer Hara is evil. In the writings of some of the Hasidim or some of the Mekubalim, Yetzer Hara is an external force that comes from Sitra Achra. Yetzer Hara is dangerous. It's coming to attack you. And our mission in life is to overcome and beat the Yetzer Hara. To be kovesh our Yetzer. So it's a milchama, it's a serious battle between us and Yetzer Hara, especially if Yetzer Hara is an external force. It's there, it's like the nachas trying to convince me to do things. My job in life is taking on the Yetzer Hara and beating the Yetzer Hara. And within this worldview, Chazal give us certain etzas as to how do you take on the Yetzer Hara. I take on Yetzer Hara, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Barat the Yetzer Hara, Barat Torah Tavlin. I have the Yetzer Hara, how do I fight the Yetzer Hara? So when I learn Torah more, that somehow, I don't even know how, but somehow that helped me beat the Yetzer Hara. And my Iker Tafkin in life is having a Yetzer Hara and trying to beat it. And if I have a big taiva in a particular direction, all that means is that I have more of a Nisayon. If I have a big taiva for money, I love money and think about it all day long. All that is insight into what I have to tackle, what I have to work on, what I have to try and eradicate. That's Yetzer Hara. It's beating me at something and I have to take it on. And I require more investment in those areas where I have greater taivas. We spoke about it at length in Mesillas Yesharim, we spoke about Yetzer Hara then, but just as an example, Mesillas Yesharim here in source number 6, that the Yetzer Hara is a constant battle with Yetzer Hara. It's us against the Yetzer Hara. And he says, "In bekochu linatzel elul yekarz baruch." Yetzer Hara is so powerful. It's wisdom. It's strength. It's insurmountable. So how can I take on the Yetzer Hara? It's impossible elul yekarz baruch hu without the Bona Shalom helping me. Yetzer Hara is takif ma'od. It's very, very strong. And that's the standard mahalach. I think for many of us, I think that's the mahalach that we're most familiar with. If I have a hard time, back to our example before, I can never wake up in the morning. So that's an example. I have to tackle that Yetzer Hara and eradicate Yetzer Hara entirely from my being. We're not going to challenge the waking up in the morning part, but we're going to try to contextualize things a little differently. If I have a real taiva for food, so and it's causing me to violates our nisurim, on a midos level, I'm not happy with where I'm at with that. So then, the job in Avodas Hashem is tackling the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is evil. The Yetzer Hara is bad. The Yetzer Hara can never be redeemed. The Yetzer Hara is something which I have to try and move away. Within that kind of a mahalach, so the ultimate madrega to eventually reach are people without Yetzer Hara. Like from the Hasidim say about Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, Parsha Vayelech, Moshe Rabbeinu is there. Lo'ukha, I can't go in and out anymore. Some of the Hasidim say Moshe Rabbeinu reached the Madrega. He had no more ups and downs anymore. The challenges weren't there as much anymore. That's the Madrega that a person in a certain sense is trying to achieve. To not have to overcome Yetzer Hara. Or in the words of Rav Dessler, to move my Nekudas HaBechira. So maybe Yetzer Hara is massive, but I've really conquered a lot of it. I've conquered a lot of it. And in my own avoda, that's what I have to do. I have to take things on. My desires, my taivas are bad. My desires, my taivas are rooted maybe in bad places. And my job is overcoming them. My job is challenging them. In the thought of Reb Tzadok, that's not true. Again, he's an interesting person. He's fascinating stuff. In the thought of Reb Tzadok, it's not true. In the thought, this comes a lot from the writings of the Ishbitzer, or the teachings of the Ishbitzer, his Rebbe. It comes a little bit from the world of Peshitcha, and we'll develop now some of the precedent that's found already in Chazal. When you look at Chazal, we already see certain indications. Yetzer Hara is not really that bad. Just, you know, the marketing person, as far as giving it its name, Yetzer Hara, didn't do an awesome job. But the Yetzer Hara itself isn't maybe as bad as we sometimes think. Let's look at Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Nidal and Al. Chayav Adam Levarich Al Rak Shem Sevarich Al Tov. Person has to bless bad things, just like they bless good things. Moshe Leiman holds a Maseh on this Gemara. It's an awesome one. That one of the there was a big time Chacham, Rebbe of Lubunera, who was a very very wealthy person, and all of his money was on a ship at one point in time. And the ship sank, and he lost everything. And the Chassidim weren't sure how they were going to tell him that he lost all of his money. So he said, one of them said, I have an idea. So he said, Rebbe, it says in the Gemara, Kshem Shmavarech Al-Tov, Kach Mavarech Al-Rav, just like I have to bless the good, bless the bad, Ha-Yitachin, is it possible? So Rebbe said, as I state in the Gemara, that's what it says, it's possible. He said, really? Kshem Shmavarech Al-Rav, is it really possible? Said as I state what it says. So the Chassid said, Rebbe, you know that ship with all your money on it, it sank. And the Rebbe fainted. So he woke him up and said, new Rebbe, as I state in the Gemara. So he said, it's Taka Shver Gemara. So it's a hard Gemara. One of the Pshanis Gemara, just to give out, they say that someone asked the Magid of Mezrich once, what's Pshanis Gemara? You have to bless good things like bad things. Bad things, like good things. He said, what's the pshat? He said, I don't know the pshat, but ask Reb Zusha. Reb Zusha, as some may be familiar with, was always sick, he was always poor, he had a terrible life. So the chassid went over to Reb Zusha and said, new Reb Zusha. Oh, okay. So Shmuel can ask Reb Zusha, what's pshat in this Gemara? Change the Baruch HaRav HaTov. The Maggid told me to ask you. So Reb Zusha said, I bichlal don't know the pshat because nothing bad's ever happened to me. Another pshat in the Gemara. But gotta bust the bad for the good. The Gemara goes on to say, "Shenamar v'hafta Hashem l'kach b'chol levavcha, b'chol levavcha." The words of Hashem with all my heart. Darshan's the Gemara. What does it mean b'chol levavcha? The words with all my heart. B'shnei yitzrecha b'yitzer tov b'yitzer hara. I have to worship God with my yitzer tov, and I have to worship God with my yitzer hara. What does that mean? Worship God with my yitzer hara. What is that even? How is that possible? The Yetzer Hara is that really bad thing that gets me to want to violate Averas. When I don't want to come, I don't want to learn as well, that's the Yetzer Hara, that's evil. How am I worshipping God with my Yetzer Hara? How am I worshipping God when the Yetzer Hara, too many Yetzer Hara, trying to convince me to, at a hotel over Pesach, to spend an extra, you know, half hour eating duck at night? How is that? I love duck, I assume it's abundantly clear by that. How exactly is that? I'm going to obey Hashem with that Yitzhara. What does that mean? Further, the Medrash Rabbah, a little bit of a famous Medrash here, a strange Medrash. Binachem bar Shmuel bar Nachem, Shem Shmuel bar Nachman Amar, Hine Tov Me'od. Ze Yitzhar Tov. Vine Tov Me'od. Ze Yitzhar Hara. Vichy Yitzhar Hara Tov Me'od. The Medrash says, Tov Me'od, you know what's really good? Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is really good. Why is Yetzer Hara so good? Because you know what would happen if you had no Yetzer Hara? There'd be no children in this world. There'd be no economy in this world. The Yetzer Hara that gets us to want to try and make more money, the Yetzer Hara that gives us certain taivas, it's the same Yetzer Hara that gets us a little more chizuk to get married. It's the same Yetzer Hara that gives us chizuk to wake up in the morning and to get the world going. That if we have that leanings in certain directions as far as money, things like that. So Yetzer Hara, on the one hand, oh, it's so challenging. On the other hand, Yetzer Hara is not so bad. Yetzer Hara is not so bad. Yetzer Hara is what gets the world going. It's tov. We still maybe don't get why it's tov me'od. I get why it's necessary. I get why you could say you don't want to totally lose Yetzer Hara. I still don't know why it's Tov Me'od. The Gemara in Yuma, Das Samach Tes, we quoted earlier, that when they, that the Yetzer Hara, again, we quoted earlier in the year, the Yetzer Hara really is what, again, it keeps the world going. It keeps the world going. So, what's the deal with the Yetzer Hara? How is it not so bad? So, Reb Tzadok in Tzikas HaTzadik develops a Yesod. And this is the Yesod, again, in my understanding of Reb Tzadok, this is the Yesod, which is very, very chashuv. It's a pshat in the Gemara in Sukkah. It's an awesome, awesome pshat. I have one friend I always think about when I think about this pshat. explain why in a little bit. Mi sheyesh lo tshuka gedolu taivas aguf. Let's say you have strong desires in the physical realm. You have strong taivas for physicality. Al yisyatzi bazel lachshov kama pagam hu sheyesh lo tshuka kolkach. Step one, this is amazing. This is what tzadok. Don't think there's something wrong with you. Don't say, oh, I'm such on a low level. I have such strong taivas. Such strong taivas. Remember the dream we quoted last week from Tzadok. This is something powerful. Don't think that I have taivas for certain things. That means I'm at a low place. I have a taiva for sleeping in, and that guy doesn't. Doesn't mean that you're lower than that person. I have a taiva for staying at that buffet, you know, an extra, whatever. But that means I'm per se a lower person. Again, that starts to physic there. What is that? Ki adraba. Not only is it not a raya that you're not pagam, but Zakhtub Tzadok, the opposite is the case. If I have real taivas for money, it doesn't just mean that it's not so bad. Adaraba. The opposite is true. Who kli mukhan tokef ahavas, shukas drishas ha'emes. Desires. The fact that you have some strong desires in different directions, that is a raya, that you are more capable, that you have more potential for achieving real truth. I'm a friend like this. High voltage individuals. You ever sometimes you interact with someone? I don't know if you've had this yet. You interact with someone, you say, I don't know what he's going to do in life. I don't know what direction he's going to head in. But whatever he does, either he'll be very, very successful wherever he goes, or I don't know if he's going to be the next Rosh Hashiva or the next whatever, but he's not going to be in between. He's a high voltage person. Says Reb Tzadok as follows. When you have enormous taivas in a particular area, that's not a raya that you are low. That's not a raya that you have problems. That's a raya that you have enormous potential. Enormous potential. I love taivas haguf. I'm thinking about ava in certain realms. That means I'm a kli muchan. I have the potential for ahava in other realms. I'm not totally passive. I am a person. I have to get up in the morning. I have to maybe not stay at the buffet for as long as I wanted to. But it's not a raya I'm low. It's a raya that I have stuff going on. Mashal l'mahadav adome. A little bit. I quoted the Maisa a couple times in the past. I think it's my favorite chinuch Maisa. Is the Rav Gifter in the dorm room in Tells. Sorry for repeating it for those that have heard it. That Rav Gifter, when he was Rosh Yeshiva Tells, I think it's the way he tells the Maisa, that he found comic books in one of the kids' rooms. And Rav Gifter started to cry. There's a kid in our yeshiva that was comic books in the room. And one of the people there said to Rav Gifter, I don't get it. You learned in Europe. In Europe at that time, people were reading heretical literature in the dorms. They were reading from the Maskila. Comic books are making you cry. You think this is the first time you've interacted with something like this? So Rav Gifter said, no. Kol's man, they were reading heretical literature. At least there were intellectual interests. At least we had what to talk about. At least there was conversation and potential. A kid who reads comic books, said Rav Gifter, I have no shaychus to. How am I going to engage someone who reads comic books? There's something to be said for people who are just, they're powerful individuals. They have strong leanings in certain directions. And you have strong leanings in certain directions. The passion and the fire, in whatever direction it's going in, is gives us insight into what I'm capable of. We'll talk about Be'ezra Hashem next week or in 2 weeks. Major machloksim amongst Baalei Machshava. How does a person know what their tafkid in this world is? May not get more lemaisa than that. How do I know what my ikar tafkid in this world is? For Reb Tzadok, this is part of the key. The areas that you struggle in most and that you have the greatest taivas for. For Reb Tzadok, the tzaddik's yetzer hara was bigger than the rashas. The rashas was small. The tzaddik The guy who's the biggest tzaddik, he had an enormous yetzer hara, enormous taivas. But says Reb Tzadok, you know what he did? He was a kli muchan for certain things. He was kli muchan for, he had leanings in the direction of too much ava towards X, but he knew how to channel that ava in a different direction. To be oved ribono sha'olam with yetzer hara, what does that mean? That sometimes my tafkid is not to shecht the yetzer hara. Sometimes my tafkid is not to just conquer it and remove it, but my tafkid is to take a yetzer hara and to understand how to use that yetzer hara, how to use those leanings in specific directions, the enormous power I have towards kedusha, how to use that towards holiness. Tzadok is a tzadik in a couple other pieces there, goes a bit further. Let's look here to Tzadik Os Reish Mem Chas. I think it's a little bit of a famous piece amongst people who know famous pieces of Tzadok. Say it like that. Iker ha'adam hu acheshek shebelev li shebo. Okay, before anything, that's wild. What's Iker ha'adam? Iker ha'adam for many, you're thinking about a Rambam and Mor Nevuchim and things like that. Iker ha'adam in many ways is man's intellect. The other things are all secondary. Iker ha'adam, what really defines it? Who is hu acheshek shebelev? It's our desire. It's our desires. Shebohu yisrono ahamalacham v'hu anikr yeter. It's a tov v'yeter hara. Kashu magbir cheskel atov hareza tov. My yeter tov, my yeter hara. That is what separates us from angels. A bit of the shail in ba'alei machshava. Those who go to nefesh chaim and char aleph. People are angels. Who's on a higher madrig? Who's on a lower madrig? We spoke last night about the kruvim. The kruvim with the picture of little children, according to Chazal. And Mechai talks about the kruvim reminding us of malachim. A certain tension here. Malachim and people. Says Reb Tzadok, you know why people are better than malachim? So we're familiar with the pshat that comes from the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. People are better than malachim because we can be mekayim the mitzvos and malachim can't be mekayim the mitzvos. The din between Moshe Rabbeinu and the malachim. Says Reb Tzadok, you know why people are greater than angels? Because we have cheshek for things. We have desires. Desires for Yetzer Tov. Desires for Yetzer Hara. Desires are what make us on a higher madrega. Our desires are not things to run away from, says Reb Tzadok. Our desires are things that we channel. Kasher hu magbir cheskel letov, hareza tov. When you take those desires and you shift them, then they become tov, then they become good. This is the Omek Apshat also, in Chovas HaTamidim. And this, I think, is such a profound... Any of you that ever get engaged in, trying to get... You're, involved in chinuch with high school-age people. 13, 14-year-olds, 15, things like that. Sometimes you have this a little bit... We have this less here. We've had some times with a guy who's Shana Aleph or things like that. The Pizetzner writes about it explicitly. You have people who think sometimes that I don't want to get so frum because I'm so nervous I become frum, the lesson of the Pizetzner, I'm going to become an old person before my days while I'm still young. That getting frum means that I'm going to become an old guy when I'm still 15. That I want to go out and I want to play games, and I'm terrified that what's going to end up happening, is I'm going to become old before my days. I'm going to be sitting down in the book all day, and that's going to be really hard. So Pizetzner writes there, the goal isn't to become old before your days. The goal is to still play the games, but to play them differently. The goal for Reb Tzadok is not running away from my taivas, my desires for certain things. The goal is using them differently. We're not trying to subjugate our desires. We're not trying to remove them. We're trying to use them in a little bit of a different way. Because it's Friday, people are really tired. I'll just share another ma'isa that loosely connects with how to play. I like this ma'isa a lot. I believe it's ma'isa from Finkelman and Orchayim. That in Tor V'Das one day, snowball fight? Anyone knows Maisa? My memory says Maisa over in 10 years. In Tor V'Das one day it was snowing outside, and all the kids started having a snowball fight outside. Beth Kavsky is the Rosh Yeshiva Tor V'Das. At one point, his office, overlooked where they're having a snowball fight on the Matzias. And the kid looks up, and Abiyakov was looking at him from inside, having a snowball fight in the morning. And he looks up, Abiyakov calls him up, and the kid obviously is terrified that Rosh Yeshiva is calling him up. And he gets called up to Rabbi Yaakov's office, And the kid's like terrified. He's going to yell at him for having a snowball fight. And Yaakov says, I see you having a snowball fight outside. Come with me to the window. And they go out to the window. And Yaakov points to one of the kids who's standing on the side outside. And Yaakov says, you see that kid over there? He really wants to be involved also. He really wants to participate in the snowball fight also. But he's too nervous and doesn't know how to make his way into the group. Can you please go back down inside? And when you continue the snowball fight, can you please just include him? Can you please bring him in? So he goes and does that. The goal isn't running away from all those opportunities. The goal's channeling them in a very different direction. The goal is channeling them towards Kedusha and towards Ahavas Hashem. It's not having it. It's doing it appropriately. For Tzadok, our time is our real desires. That's what makes us different than angels. Don't think you're pugum because of it. Think that you're more of a kli muchan. You're more built for Kedusha. And he points out, the Avos HaKedoshim, this is what they had. The Avos Nikru Esanim, Etanim. Shamati Perusha. Shamati, in the writings of Tzadok, almost always means from the Ishbitar, from the Mea Shiloach. I can say we accept a little bit. Never mind. Shamati Perusha, Akshanim. They're very, what's the word Akshan? What does that mean?
Stubborn
people. The Avos were stubborn. Perusha Shailam Tokef HaChesheg Boer Ke'esh. They were people who were on fire. They were on fire. They were such passionate people. Nothing was going to stop them. Their desires were so great. Their desires were enormous. They were not these old guys sitting down in the corner of the room who didn't struggle. They weren't these guys with no challenges. They had such cheshek for things. They were passionate, fiery people. Not calm, meek individuals sitting there on the side. Av Mavir B'midas Ha'ava. He had such a cheshek for Ava. Ad she'igil l'tachlis Avas Hashem shubir harchakas ko Avas sulasam. Till he reached the point where he channeled the cheshek for Ava. He discovered, what do I do with that cheshek for Ava? I use that for Avas Hashem. Ak de'kach, he realized, that's real Ava. Yitzchak. Shoya tokef ha'cheshek. L'yiris Hashem sinas ra. V'chomine ava zaris. V'chemdas olam hazayu muruchak metal betachlis. Yaakov, the mixture of all of them. They had huge, huge leanings in different directions. V'inkor and avos el l'shlosha elu. Only these three are called avos. Only these three are arfa. Why? Sheheim, that's Gemara Brachos, Sheheim kol kach, nigbar cheskem kol echel l'midaso betov. The avos. Why are they the avos? What makes them so special? They dafka took all of their enormous cheshek and they moved it towards tov. They moved it towards good. Until they got to that point. You know what happened? They became so passionate, so fiery. Says Tzadok, it got ingrained into their descendants. It got ingrained into all of us. But they were fiery people with enormous cheshek for things, enormous desires for things. And for Av, there's about channeling that towards Av. And for Yitzhak, that was channeling that towards Yira. And Yaakov had a lot of different things. And he pulled it all together as the sweetness of Teferes, the sweetness of it all coming together. But that's the Avos. That's who they were. That's what makes it so special. Rav Tzadok's not giving chizuk. You have it sometimes. I'm like, you have sometimes a guy who's really struggling. And you have a Rebbe or a Mashkiach or a parent or a friend who's plugged him and giving him chizuk. And sometimes you wonder. You have a guy who's falling in a certain area, has a certain taiva. And he gets chizuk. And sometimes you wonder, that chizuk, is it real when he tells him, don't worry, it's not so bad. Everyone has things like this. Is that a chinuch move in order to get the guy up? Or is that really MS? Rav Tzadok maintains that stuff is called kulo emes. And it's not for Rav Tzadok the way that some would say it. Listen, every person has their own challenges. And maybe we're not destined for that. But the fact of his time is, you in your own way have to try to take them on. For Rav Tzadok, no. Great people had cheshek for things. Great people were not always the guys that always followed every single thing and rule along the way. They were great personalities with tons of koach. Tons of koach. And they learned how to channel it. I remember when Chaim was born, Chaim as a baby was a Adiyom Azeh, he's a sharp kid, sweet and sharp. As a kid, he was very like, there are babies you can put down and will just like lie there for a long period of time. That never happened. He didn't sleep that much. He'd be up in the fours and the fives. I was a mess. And you can never like put him down just to sit. One time we bought like a swing or something, put him on, and like for like 90 seconds he sat in that thing, and I've not had like a more peaceful 90 seconds in my life than 90 seconds. So I remember talking about it with Rabbi Benovitz. So he said to me that Rav Moshe Weinberger, I think once like had this whole routine. Like we want our kids to be these like, when they're babies, like passive kids that like sit down and just like blob, like do nothing because it's a little bit easier. He's talking about the Ragged Shavar. The Ragged Shavar was a wild Talmud Chacham and a wild person. Why is that the Ragged Shavar? So much koach, so fiery. Rav Moshe Weinberger was talking about like, what do you think he was like as a kid? You think as a kid when he was a year old, he just sat there like a bob. He's probably a crazy child. He's probably wild as a kid. So much cheshek, so much koach, so much power. It's important to remind ourselves sometimes those things aren't bad. Maybe it's hard, but those are things that lead to much more to much more kedusha. They have the potential for much more kedusha. Let me try and move on a little bit so I can talk about Rav Kook and some of the implications. Rav Kook has similar ideas. Let me note a couple of things. We spoke about Rav Kook's influence by Rav Tzadok. One of the great articles that Rav Kook and Rav Tzadok is an article entitled Shnei Kohanim Gedolim, Two Great Kohanim, written by Rav Hadari. Rav Hadari is Rav Hendler's father-in-law, who zocha 5 minutes ago to have the bris of his great-grandson right there in the Chativa. So Rav Hadari is as far as the Tilu Mi world, he's Roshiva Bakotel for a long time. Rav Hadari is a giant, particular in Machshava, Rav Kook, Chassidus, things like that. I think he used the Shir Room for his Seder this year. That's right. Did you tell me that, Nady? Rav Hadari used the Shir Room for his Seder this year, no? I don't know. He does Seder every year. Someone told me that. So Rav Hadari wrote something called Shnei Kohanim Gedolim, an article comparing some of the thought of Rav Kook and Rav Tzadok. A couple of things. Rav Kook had... Rav Kook, there are shilas about Rav Kook, how much he's Hasidic or not Hasidish. If you have Hasidic leanings, so Pashat, he was really Hasidic. If you don't, so then less so. Rav Hadari points out, and this is an important point, sometimes people look for Hasidic things in Rav Kook. What they're really finding is Kabbalistic things. Rav Kook is a Mekubal. He also had Hasidic leanings. First of all, he behaved a bit like the Chassidish Rebbe at times. The way he dressed, Shal Shittis. I think he might say that to you, he said there are guys that would give him Kvitlach. Rav Kook. Rav Kook was a little bit like Chassidisha Rebbe. Guys who based in Europe with a Chassidisha background felt a bit comfortable by Rav Kook. In Rav Kook's Machshava, so he's not, it's not so clear how Chassidish he is. He definitely had, from his family and his own leanings, certain Chabad leanings. He, certainly there are Maisas, that when the Ger Rebbe came to visit Rav Kook quoting passages of Sfas Emes by heart, Ki Ilu Sefer was Munach in front of him. Now, that may prove more that he was a freaky genius than that he had particular leanings in the direction of Ger. It's just that's what happens. Like when they say, I told you in this or Will, told in Maisa, that in YU they lay half Torah from a cloth. So when they lay half Torah from a cloth, you have to lay it with the truck. And sometimes in YU they wouldn't have it, they forgot to find someone to lay half Torah from the cloth, and Lichtenstein was there when he was younger, and he would just lay it half Torah straight up from the cloth on the spot. Like with the truck. That's the knowledge of Nevi'im Iksuv, and that's pretty cool. So then I was like, okay, I get it. Like, we know this. He was an amazing genius. You know, like, the people, it's not to say a raya that he was, that Rav Kook was shyach to get. But he had certain leanings in those directions. And Rav Kook in letters encourages learning Chassidus, but he encourages learning Chassidus amongst other things. It's hard to argue that Rav Kook that was influenced by Rav Tzadok. It's hard to argue that. For a couple of reasons, one of them most fundamental, I'll say to the end. One of them, Rav Kook does not quote his sources that much. We don't know how much he was or wasn't influenced by particular people. The second thing, this is a point that I'm indebted to Daniel's cousin, Rabbi Yitzchak Black, for like just saying this very, very clearly once. It's not, the fact that Rav Tzadok and Rav Kook have similar ideas does not mean that Rav Kook is influenced by Rav Tzadok. What it may mean is that the idea is MS. If they both say, his example, if Rav Tzadok and Rav Huttner both talk about how Purim is uncovering the Pnimius. That's not a raya there, other influence of Hudner. Maybe that's a raya that Purim is about uncovering the Pnimius. Or they're influenced by some third party. So it's hard to know, if I think there's overlap in their machshava, hard to know their influence. There's one more fundamental reason. Rav Tzadok died what year? 1902, early 20th century. None of his writings were published until after he passed away. Rav Kook died in what year? Okay. The writing, this is what Hadari points out. Rav Tzadok's published writings were not available to Rav Kook until after most of the writings of Kook that we have were already written. In his Yafo years, when he wrote a lot of his stuff, he couldn't have had Rav Tzadok because it wasn't published yet. So we don't really have, it's hard to argue there's direct overlap, but there's certainly in their machshava a lot of, there is a lot of overlap. And here are a couple of pieces. Rav Avi there in his Aras Ano wrote, in a passage there in a row where it's pretty clear, quotes these things. In source number 16, Shekol Mashi Chuber Yosir Lachayim Amitiyim, the more that you are connected to true life, Muchan Lepeulos Yosir Gedolos, you're capable of greater actions, of greater activities. Alkein Nosno Kochos Gedolim B'tshuka, and therefore they give you more desire, they give you more ambition. Again, desires, ambition, those aren't bad. It's a question of channeling them. Those are great. Great people are given great ambition. Great people are given big desires. L'man yishtokek, lush, l'Hashem yisbarach, memshalasu, l'chazek, betek, beis Hashem, v'koin gadol, v'dib tzum ilu ha-kochos, bo munachem, v'chaserim hechshev. You have the kochos there, I have to just think about how I use them. But big people are given, people with enormous potential, are given big desires. They're given big desires. V'kokin in ayam, brachos, shakol amido, shakol Hashem yisbarach, v'tev ad v'nafsho, im b'hem achas, shatiyye ra'a behechlet. No one is given a midah that is inherently bad. We are not given a single character trait that is bad, says Rav Kook. You don't have a single trait in you. There is nothing about you, not a single character trait, that you are supposed to remove from you, said Rav Kook. Not a single one. You have to use each one properly. With Kukin and Chazar, I want to talk about three implications for Avodas Hashem and for worldview that emerge from these approaches. We spoke about Yetzer Hara, Tzadikim very big, others very small, the standard approach. Yetzer Hara is something we have to conquer. Yetzer Hara is something that's trying to mess us up. Specifically, again, if Yetzer Hara is external, if it's an external force, I have to try and uncover it and beat it. And Torah helps me beat it. That's Torah Tavlin. We saw a different Mahalach in the writings of Rav Tzadok and the writings of Rav Kook. Yetzer Hara, I don't want to run away from. Taiva, I don't run away from. I don't run up. There's no such thing as a midah. I have to eradicate from my being. I have to channel. And when I have bigger taivas and bigger cheshek, bigger desires and certain things, that is a raya. That you are a clean muchan, that you are built for greatness. By the way, just to note something, Rav Tzadok's dream last week, that the door that brings Geula is the door HaMidbar, and it's the same door that is the door HaMabel. It's the same souls. The same souls that brought the Mabel are the same souls that are going to bring Geula. What's going to bring Geula are not the souls that have always been pure. We're not talking now about Tzadok Tukhan Sashav and Makam Shabali Tshuva Omdem. Ain't Tzadikim Gemur Micholim La'amod. What's going to... It's a Gemara in Brachos, not Tzadok Tukhan Sashav. Tzadok talks about that Gemara in Tukhan Sashav. What's going to allow people to achieve greatness and bring Geula is Dafka through that. Rav Tzadok and Rav Kook, let me talk about a couple implications. One, midos-wise. Ravner points out already in his notes and in a wrote. There's a big difference in Avodas Hamidos. The Rambam, he points out, does not say where Rav Kook says. The Rambam talks about how the middle is always great, except for certain Midos, like Gaiva. Gaiva, the Rambam thinks you have to eradicate from your being. Rav Kook would say, absolutely not. Rav Tzadok, absolutely not. Gaiva, you got to learn how to use Gaiva in the right context. I have to learn how to use a certain azaz de kedusha, a certain holy gaiva, in order to be able to use that appropriately. There's a gaiva shel kedusha she bifchinas look there. Can't read that. V'yigbal libo b'darchei Hashem, that I have the capacity to use that for increased holiness. All the midos, I don't eradicate, I take on. That's a major avos hamidos level. Don't change that stuff. Number two, a little bit of a different impression of what tshuva is supposed to be about. What's tshuva supposed to look like? The Gemara Rosh Hashanah sounds like the Rambam plays it up in the Chashuva. Anihu v'lo acher, shinu Hashem, or change yourself, the capacity to become different, the capacity to become new, changing your name, forgetting about your past, and moving on. In the thought of many of the Chassidim, that's not what tshuva is about. Tshuva is not about becoming entirely new and reinventing myself. Tshuva is about the same person, but channeling it differently. We spoke about the Dvorah Tan. The same Yitzro, who was Putiel, the one who chant, who ran after Avodah Zarah, he worshipped Hashem with that same Midah. He didn't lose that. Second impression. Third. Rav Tzadok and Rav Kook have one dominant point of overlap. We spoke about it last week in the Sefer Ava. Said that major defenders of Klal Yisrael. Think about how differently you look at individuals who sin with Rav Kook's and Rav Tzadok's approach as opposed to others. For others, these are people with terrible Yitzhar Haras that they haven't conquered. These are people who are so far from Kedusha. These are people I look at them and I say, they're never going to be able to achieve certain things. They're Yitzhar Haras. How do you conquer it? For Rav Kook and Rav Tzadok, again, just think about the implication of these kinds of ideas. When I look at someone who's messing up, I look at people who are Avrayanim, I don't think that at all. I look at these people and I say, these are people with such potential for Kedusha. Such potential for holiness. They have desires in certain directions. It's just arrived. They're not there right now. I can't condone their actions. But that they have potential for holiness? For sure. For sure they have those potential. They have that potential for holiness. Let me end with the word, just that we can... and we'll talk about next time we meet, about what is a person's tafkid in this world. Different approaches about machshava. We'll see if Tzadok's approach is based on this. We're talking about sin, the realm of chet is going to be based on this. We're talking about tshuva is going to be based on some of these ideas about like not running away and not all these things are inherently so bad and things like that. And with the vort, the Gemara says in Masechta Sota, in generation before Mashiach, we're going to have extra chutzpah in the world. We're going to have extra chutzpah in the world, so says the Gemara Masechta Sota. Some like bring that raya, like look at the world right now, everyone is misbehaving, no one has respect for anything, it's a raya. In the thought of some of the Chassidim, Tzadok has a passage about this. One of the OCOs from Tzitzit Tzadik, the Vort that I, Uri of Stralisk, who was one of the Chassidim that comes to the world, he is from Shaya to that world of Karlin. Uri of Stralisk said over the following pshat. You know what it means? There's going to be more chutzpah in generation before Mashiach. Not people are going to be chutzpahdik in a bad way. People are going to learn to use that midah of chutzpah for Avodas Hashem. People are going to learn that when it comes to Avodas Hashem sometimes, I can't always be concerned what others are going to think and what other people are going to say about me. I can't always be concerned about the limitations that maybe I put on myself or others put on me. But my ambition, my capacity, it requires a bit, and lesson of Swami, it requires a bit of holy chutzpah. It requires a bit of chutzpah that's used to say, I can do more and I will do more. And ultimately, to say something to Chassidim, that's what's going to lead to that eventual geula. Again, it's the same souls of the Dor HaMabul that will become the souls of the generation of Mashiach, and we should be zochet to understand ourselves, and we understand ourselves and our own leanings, how to channel them effectively. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Right. The gritty.